Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Ed, welcome to all of you here on the patio and those who are joining us on our stream. It's good to have you. I'm glad that you can join us in no small part because of the work of Rob and Larry and Scott. Hey, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? That's what we say. That's what we believe, and that is the truth. Jesus is the reason for the season. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about him. And all of the rest of Christmas, all of the rest of the celebrations and the decorations and the warm apple spiced cider and all of the opening of the presents and the Christmas lights and all of that is good and fun. And Jesus is at the center of Christmas. Jesus is what Christmas is all about. This last week, our preschool hosted 8 preschool Christmas concerts here under the tent. And each of our preschool pods presented a Christmas concert, and they would tell the Christmas story and sing Christmas songs. It was wonderful. I was able to be at all 8 of those Christmas concerts this week. And what I was saying to the parents and the kids for all 8 of those concerts was, it's such a gift to me to be reminded of the wonder of Christmas. Because kids get wonder, don't they? Kids understand, well, maybe they don't understand wonder, but they experience the wonder of Christmas. And sometimes as adults, we can grow out of this wonder. And this last week, our preschoolers invited me to grow back into the wonder as we wonder at the miracle of God taking on flesh and becoming a human being, born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. One of the songs that the preschoolers sing talk about how we give gifts to one another at Christmas time in order to remind us and to remind one another of the most significant gift of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. So we exchange gifts as a way to remind one another of the most significant gift ever. It's all about this most significant gift ever. And so as you open gifts maybe this Christmas, as you view Christmas lights, as you consider all of the tapestry around the Christmas holiday, my hope is that all of it would be a reminder to you of the most significant gift, the gift of Jesus in a manger. It's all about Jesus. And speaking of all, that's a key word in this passage that Robin just read from Colossians 1. All. Did you hear it? All. It's repeated 8 times in 6 verses. We are reminded that it's all about Jesus. And so we're going to walk through not all of this passage, but portions of it, and look at this repeated word, all, as we consider the gift of Jesus. So let's pray and we'll walk through this passage. Jesus, we are filled with wonder that all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in you. The Godhead in flesh. We wonder at you, the Lord Almighty, born in Bethlehem. Would you fill our hearts and our minds with wonder? Would you center our minds and our hearts? Would you center our lives on you? That as we wonder at the gift of you born in Bethlehem, that we would arrange our lives around you, centered on you. For we believe that it's all about you. Thank you for the gift of Christmas that we get to be reminded that it's all about you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to focus just on four phrases this morning in Colossians 1, four phrases. The first is Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That's in verse 15. The second is in verse 16, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. What does that mean, created for Jesus? The third phrase we're going to look at is in verse 17, in Jesus, all things are held together. Held together. What does that mean? And then in verse 19, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So these four phrases are going to be our focus today. So first of all, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus makes visible what would otherwise be invisible. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we're told that ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, these things, even though they're invisible, they've been understood and they've been seen through his creation. So that when we consider the majesty of snow-capped mountains in the Sierra Nevada, we can get a glimpse at God's eternal power and divine nature. As we consider the wonder of waves crashing one after the other, the beauty of the ocean and all of the intricate life that is within it, we get a glimpse at God's eternal power, the one who created all of this, and his divine nature. So that in Romans 1:20, we're told, you know, ever since the beginning of creation, God's eternal power and divine nature, they've kind of been on display for us. Open your eyes and look around. But what about the grace of God? What about God's mercy? What about the gift of reconciliation? These things are not on display for us to see in creation. You cannot deduce the grace of God from even the most beautiful sunset. You can't watch a mountain lion hunt down a sick deer and conclude that God is merciful and gracious. There are parts of who God is that cannot be seen in creation. In fact, I would argue that the grace and the mercy of God can only be deduced by looking at Jesus Christ. And these are the things about God that Jesus makes visible. The invisible grace of God, the invisible mercy of God, the invisible patience of God, Jesus makes them visible to us. He makes what otherwise would be invisible, visible to those who have eyes of faith. It's only by looking at Jesus that we can understand what God's grace actually looks like. What does God look like? Well, we can see in part through creation, but we can see in whole through Jesus Christ. You want a picture of God? Look at Jesus Christ. He is the image, the exact representation of the invisible God. And we're told that all things are held together through him. We're told that all things have been created through him. All things were created through Jesus Christ, and not just through him, but for him. That all things, including you, have been created for Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I think it means at least that you have been created for his good pleasure. It makes me think of like a carpenter in a carpentry shop, and maybe a carpenter's masterpiece. A project that a carpenter has worked long and hard on and poured all of his love and skill and joy into this piece of art. It's a masterpiece. It's the carpenter's pride and joy. And that's what you were like to Jesus Christ. You have been created for the good pleasure of God. Your existence brings pleasure to God. I want to invite you, what would it be like If every morning when you opened your eyes, every morning that you woke up, you began with these words, I am Jesus's good pleasure today. When Jesus looks at me, he experiences good pleasure. How might that change your own perspective of who you are and what you are for? We've also been created for Jesus's good purposes. So Jesus creates us for his good pleasure. We are simply a masterpiece from his workshop, but also he's created us for his good purposes. And I think of like that beautifully restored 1967 Ford Mustang, right? It was a rusted out, old, rundown kind of piece of junk, but a master car restorer, a mechanic, has invested time and energy and skill and love, and through precision and skill has rebuilt this amazing piece of art. And what does that 1967 Ford Mustang do or say? It displays the skill of its restorer, right? If you ever go to the car show over here just down the street on Saturday mornings, all of those rebuilt cars, all of those oldies and goodies, all of those cars, they are reflections of their builders. They put the skill of their mechanics on display. And so it is with you and me. We actually put on display the skill and love and redemption of Jesus Christ. As people who have been redeemed by Jesus, you are living testimonies to how good and redeeming the love of God is. You've been created for this purpose, for the purpose of putting God's love on display for others to see. You know, our mission statement here is all about cultivating a community of faith and hope and love, and about following Jesus into the world. Why? Why are we cultivating a community of faith and hope and love? Why are we following Jesus into the world? So that our neighbors might see and experience the goodness of God. Because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, you and I are God's goodness on display for our neighbors to see, not because of what we have done, but because what God has done in us and through us. I love this brief little question and answer that comes from an old teaching tool in the church. It's called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And a long time ago, this used to be a popular teaching tool. When people would come to Christ, in order for the church to teach the gospel to new believers, they would use this question and answer kind of format. And the very first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, you might argue, is the most important. That's why it's the first question. The very first question, and it's old, so it's not gender inclusive. Sorry about that. It says, what is the chief end of man? What is man's chief end? In other words, what are you here for? What is the primary purpose of humanity? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is our purpose. And when we put on display the grace and mercy and kindness and patience of our living God, when we put that on display for our neighbors to see, we are glorifying God. We are living into the purpose for which we were created. All things have been created through Jesus and also for Jesus, for his glory. You have been created for his good pleasure and for his good purposes. And so I wonder if you wake up in the morning and you say this truth, I am God's good pleasure today, if you might also ask this question, how can I display the love of Jesus Christ to others today? How can I be a signpost pointing people to the love of Jesus Christ? We're told in this passage that in Jesus, all things are held together. Hey, has there ever been a time when we needed to be reminded more that, man, God is holding us together? God's holding it together. God's got this. God's got you. You may feel like you can't keep it together. I've felt like that a number of times, but God holds us together in Jesus Christ. Holds us together. Some of you know Kurt Boyd. Kurt Boyd is our maintenance, our facilities maintenance man here at Christ Pacific Church and has been for over 25 years. And Kurt is really, really good at maintaining our facilities. And without Kurt's love and care for our facilities, this place would literally just disintegrate. Even those things which are created so perfectly, even things that are created so wonderfully and magnificently and robustly, need to be held together, need to be maintained. And one of the things that Kurt does is he maintains our facilities. He holds them together. He holds the building together through his love and care for you and for the living God. And Jesus is not only our creator, he's our sustainer. He's our maintenance man, if you will. He's the one that holds us together. And boy, do we need to be reminded today that we have a God that not only created us, but we have a God in Jesus who walks with us, sustaining us, maintaining us, holding us together. We're also told that in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Everything about God dwells within the person of Jesus Christ. God's power, God's majesty, God's authority, it's all in there. It's all in Jesus. God's steadfast love, God's mercy, God's grace, it's all in there, in the person of Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God. And even though Jesus enjoyed all the fullness of God, he didn't consider equality with God as something to be exploited or leveraged for his own benefit, but rather he emptied himself and he took on the form of a slave. And being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he actually humbled himself and became obedient, even obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is what God looks like. All of God's power, all of God's majesty, all of God's authority. And Jesus willingly emptied himself and took on the form of a human being. Jesus willingly humbled himself and gave all that he had on the cross so that you and I could be invited into the life of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is what God looks like. Jesus, all the fullness of God, willingly emptying himself, becoming a servant for you, for me. This is a visible form of the invisible love of God. And do you know, you and I are also image bearers. Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You and I are not the image of the invisible God, but we are an image. You are an image of the invisible God. You have been created in God's image. Genesis 1:26 tells us that in his image you have been created. That means God's love, God's forgiveness, God's patience, God's kindness, all of that has been woven into who you are so that you can also display that for others to see. You too can make visible the invisible love of God. you too can make visible the invisible grace and mercy of God. This is why you and I were created. For the good pleasure and the good purposes of making God's love known to our neighbors who have not yet seen it. Making God's grace and mercy in Jesus Christ known to those who have not yet seen it. It's all about Jesus. It's all about offering our lives as a living sacrifice to Jesus and for Jesus. That when others look, they might see the love of God operating in and through us. I hope that your Christmas is centered on Jesus Christ. It's all about him. And it seems like this year in 2020, we've been handed a fairly good opportunity to recalibrate how we understand Christmas and even how we celebrate Christmas, because an awful lot of our Christmas traditions, an awful lot of what we hold dear and beloved about how we celebrate Christmas, an awful lot of that has been taken away or it's become extremely difficult, has it not? And so this seems like an opportunity that's been given to us to recalibrate how we think about Christmas. And not just Christmas, but how we think about the world, how we think about ourselves. And so I hope this Christmas that your eyes are drawn to the manger. That if you have the privilege of exchanging gifts with someone, that practice of exchanging gifts would remind you of the gift of Jesus. That if you have the privilege of maybe driving around and seeing some of the magnificent Christmas lights on display, that those lights would remind you of the light of the world who has come to shine most brightly in the darkness. And that if you have the privilege of sitting next to a warm fire and drinking hot spiced apple cider, that the sweetness of that cider and the warmth of that fire would remind you of the sweetness of God's grace and the warmth of God's love in Jesus Christ. I hope that this Christmas for you is centered on Jesus, because it is all about the greatest gift that has ever been given. The gift of Jesus born in a manger. The gift of Jesus showing us what God looks like. The gift of Jesus creating us for his good pleasure and for his good purpose. The gift of Jesus holding us together, even during COVID. The gift of Jesus in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and yet who emptied himself and was born in Bethlehem, and who humbled himself and who gave his life on a cross. So this Christmas, I hope that you will know that you too are on display with the privilege of displaying the love and kindness and generosity and mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. For he is the image of the invisible God. And you and I, we are an image of the visible Christ, of the invisible love of God. Friends, Merry Christmas as you center all that you are on the one who is at the center of all things. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so grateful for your word that reminds us, that aligns us, that recalibrates us, that helps us to see things more clearly. It helps us to see that indeed you are at the center of the world, that you are the king of the cosmos, that you are the maker and sustainer of all things. Jesus, as we walk toward Christmas this week, would you draw our hearts and our minds to you? Clarify the vision of our eyes of faith. Expand our capacity to love you and love others. Deepen our faith. And make more robust our hope in you. just as we celebrate the light of the world breaking in on one of the darkest days of the year during the winter solstice. Just as we remember and celebrate you, baby Jesus, born into an obscure family, growing up in an obscure town, becoming poor. Just as we remember and celebrate all of that, would you recalibrate us that our lives might be aligned around you? Jesus, have your way in us and have your way through us, that through us, our neighbors, our colleagues, our peers, our friends, our family members might begin to experience the very goodness of the living God born in Bethlehem. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpchb.org.